Fear has torment. Don't. That is such a good thing. Don't fear. God is with you. God is for you. He is never against you. You know, I've heard testimonies about, and especially growing up in an AG church, Assembly of God church, this, you heard these people going, you know, oh, I was just, you know, doing my thing and God really got on my case and God disciplined me and he was mad at me and, you know, finally I gave in. And no, that's, God said he will never be angry with you. Amen. God doesn't get mad at you. He may not be very happy with the decisions you make, but he is never going to get mad at you. He loves you all the time, every day, no matter what you do. His love for you is not dependent on your behavior. His love for you is dependent on the blood of Jesus. But, you know, we live in a world that shoves it in your face every day, all the time. You cannot watch a TV show, you cannot watch a sporting event without the pharmaceutical companies telling you how sick you are and telling you how much you need the drugs they're trying to sell you that come with all these warnings, you know, it might even kill you if you take this drug, right? The cure is worse than the disease sometimes. And now this unending assault on you can be skinny without having to diet or exercise. Just take this shot. Take this pill. We will make you skinny and you can feed your fat face as much as you want. I guarantee you it's going to come out how bad that is for you in the not too distant future. You know what? We have to resist. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. But you got to do two things. You got to submit yourself to God. Submission means to come under the mission of another. When my wife submits to me, she comes into my mission. She agrees with me. She is my help. Okay? That's submission. It's not me lording it over her. It's not me dominating her. It is us working together for a common goal. That is a wife submitting to her husband. And if a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, he gives himself for her. He doesn't dominate her. He isn't rude. He isn't a bully. He isn't forceful. He loves, he lives with his wife in an understanding way. The Bible says an understanding way. We don't have to understand. We just have to live in an understanding way. Because no man is ever going to understand a woman. Got that, Sam? May you, young man, have a marriage as awesome as mine has been for the last 30, almost 8 years. God is so good. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. It wasn't God choosing whether he was going to heal you or not heal you. It wasn't somebody else choosing whether you're going to get healed or you're not going to get healed. It is your faith that makes you well. And sometimes we never see it and the person dies. My mother died. We prayed. We believed. My mother died. When I get to heaven, we'll figure out where it was we went wrong. I hear this a lot too. Jesus, heal this person. No, that's not the way God taught us to pray. In the musical, The Music Man, when he's trying to sell everybody, the salesman says, either you are closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster And I'm going to break off from the quote right there and say, the disaster indicated by believing the devil's lies. He's really good at it. He is great about putting those lies in front of your face to see, to hear, and to believe. He's been lying for thousands of years. Let me tell you something. When you do something for thousands of years, you're going to get really good at it. And it gets really hard when your eyes are screaming at you that this is the way things are, that your checkbook is empty, that your back is killing you, that this disease is eating away your body, that cancer is eating away at you, to believe what God has said. But in Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, understand. For the heart of this people has grown dull. The word grown can be the word waxed dull. Waxed. What does waxing mean? So back in the day, when they made candles, they took a wick with a little weight at the end of it. And they would put the weight and a long string and a weight on each end and hang it over a bar. And that bar would dip down in the hot melted wax and come up. Then it would dip down again and come up. And it would dip down again and come up. And every single time that wick got dipped down, the thickness of the candle grew larger. It was a slow process. They didn't use a mold. They didn't use a form. They dipped it. It was called waxing. It's a slow process. The erosion of our Constitution in the United States has been waxing. It's been slow. I believe it's a conspiracy direct from hell. Yes. To erode the Constitution that has stood for 250 years. Yes. To have schools and legal schools that turn out judges who think they are the executive branch instead of the little tiny judicial branch that has the least amount of our Constitution. Yes. That's what waxing is. Growing. It's very slow growth. It's very incremental. It's just a little bit here and a little bit there. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. God wants you well. But he needs you to open your eyes and open your ears to his word. Amen. To open your heart to be changed by the word of God. Right. That's what his desire of. How many of you would like to be healed? Yes. Don't close your eyes. Unless you're going to close them in prayer and you're going to get that vision on the inside of you of your healed body, of your healed spouse's body, of your healed child's body, of your healed grandchild's body. I have two grandchildren now. I pray for them all the time. Amen. I prayed for them when they were in utero that they would come out healthy, happy, vibrant children. And they are. Amen. I had so much fun with my grandson last weekend. It's amazing the amount of fun you can have with a two-year-old in a balloon. And we never popped it. We made it through the whole weekend without popping the balloon. We live in a sick society. It's sick physically. It's sick mentally. And the only healing for that is opening their eyes and their ears to the Word of God. That is the only way that mental healing is going to happen. They're greatly deceived because they have believed all those amazing lies the devil throws at them. If you go to church on Sunday morning, your life is over. you are never going to have any fun again. Let me tell you something. You can have a lot of fun as a Christian. I've been having a lot of fun for 38 years. I love my wife. She's so much fun. She's the laugher in the family. I'm kind of a tough room. She laughs. She's an easy room. She gets me sometimes how easily she starts laughing. It makes me laugh. It makes me happy when she starts laughing. Anyway, you know what? The Bible gives us examples of how we should approach healing. The first example I want to go to is in Matthew 15, verse 5. This guy understood. Did I say, you know what? Is that supposed to be Matthew 13? Beth, can you look that up real quick? Because it's the centurion. Let's try Matthew 13, 5. I probably typed it wrong. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Centurion, yes, sorry. So I copied it over from the one below it. Let's go to Matthew 8, 5 through 13. And the centurion understood authority structure, right? He knew he had to receive orders, but he also knew he could give orders. And those orders had to be carried out. Now, when Jesus entered into Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him. I'm going to go do it. I am physically going to come to your house. I'm going to go lay my hands on this guy." And the centurion, he answered and he said, "That's okay. You don't have to do that. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Wait, how does that work? You don't have to come touch it. You don't have to come lay your hands on it. Just say it. And it's going to happen. Amen. He saw it in his heart. He had this hope within himself that his servant would be healed. All Jesus had to do was say the word. "But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also..." Listen to that. He's saying, "I also am a man under authority." Is he saying Jesus is under somebody's authority? No, he's saying sickness is under the authority of Jesus. "I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, he does it. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. What did Jesus call this? "Assuredly, I say unto you, I have not found such great faith." No, not even in Israel. And this man was not a Jew. He was a Roman. "I have not found such great faith." Faith that understands what is subject to God. Jesus had authority over that servant's sickness. Jesus gave that authority to you and 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 me. Sickness does not have authority over us. We have authority over sickness, but we forget that a lot of times because we feel the pain. It hurts so bad. Yell at it. Yell at it. Say, "Shut up, pain. You are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. You quit hurting my body. I have full mobility, pain-free." And sometimes you just got to yell so loud the devil can't get his word over the top of what you're hearing. I'm talking from personal experience here. It happens.
Amen. Hallelujah.
"But I am not going to give in for 1 second. No matter what I feel, I am going to fight against it. I am going to resist the devil. I'm going to resist the pain. I'm going to resist the sickness. I'm going to say, I am healed, and I'm going to get out there and do what that healing tells me, what that sickness tells me I can't do. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to put up with it. Jesus called that great faith. Great faith. Let's look at, and this is probably where I made my mistake. Hopefully I got this one right. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. The Syrophoenician woman. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came to him from that region and cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." You know, as parents, it hurts when our children are really sick. It hurts when they make bad decisions. But he answered her not a word. He didn't even acknowledge her existence, right? Didn't say a word to her. And she keeps crying out. And his disciples said, "Look, Lord, would you send this woman away? Get rid of her. She's bugging us. We're tired of her coming up and crying about her daughter." So he finally answers her and he says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm not here for you. You're a Canaanite. You're a Syrophoenician. I'm not here for you. I was sent to Israel to redeem Israel. That's what I'm here for. She didn't stop. She didn't give up and walk away because she didn't get the answer she wanted right away. She stayed right there. She came up to him and she fell on her knees and she worshiped him. "Lord, help me." Now, there's two things we can take out of the next sentence here. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Listen to what he said. She's talking about healing. She's talking about getting a demon cast out of her daughter. He said, "That's our food. That's for you and me. I'm not going to take their bread and throw it to the dogs. We have that promise. That's our food. Healing is our bread. Healing is for us every day, all the time. Don't let the devil talk you out of it because you have a pain. Tell him to shut up. Tell your body to be healed." And she responded to him and said, "Arf, arf." I love this. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table." Wow. Okay, call me a dog, I don't care, but at least give me the crumbs. And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman," same answer he gave the Roman, "great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as your desire, as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great faith. What was great faith? Great faith was refusal to accept the situation as it was. Great faith was having that vision of what they desired in their head, in their heart. Great faith was not giving up no matter what they saw, no matter what they heard. Great faith was the refusal to accept defeat and to accept situation as they were, but believing just the word of God would take care of it. In Matthew 9, verse 18, there's two healing stories here. We're told his name is Jairus in other versions of this. Jesus was speaking to the crowds. They were pressing in around him. This was no stage where he was standing separate, no pulpit he was standing behind, but the crowds were pressing around him. Everybody wanted to get close to this guy. Everybody wanted to touch him. And a ruler of the synagogue came and worshiped him and saying, "My daughter has just died, but if you come and lay your hands on her, she will live." This is good. He refused to accept even death. He saw that even the power of life and death was in the hands of Jesus. And he said, "If you come and lay your hands on her, she'll live." This man had that faith that I am not going to accept defeat. But he didn't accept that it was just the spoken word. He needed Jesus to heal her. Okay? But right in the midst of this, what happens? So Jesus rose up and he followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're still under the Mosaic law here. Jesus hasn't died. What is she doing in public? She is supposed to be outside the gates of the city. And if for any reason she comes into that city, she has to walk around saying, "Unclean, unclean, don't come near me, I'm unclean, don't touch me, I'm unclean." Yet here she was in the midst of this crowd. Why? Why? For she said to herself, she said it to herself. She was talking herself. Sometimes we have to talk ourselves into faith because we have a word that is a world that is so good at baptizing us in unbelief. We've got to shut our eyes to the world, open our eyes to the Word of God, and talk ourselves into faith. It doesn't happen immediately. Especially when we see with our eyes how bad the situation is, how sick the person is, how damaged their body is, how poverty-stricken they are. It takes time to build up your most holy faith, which you do by praying in the Spirit. She said to herself. She said it. And let me tell you something. It's very important to say it. Very important to say it. She said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Your body cannot go where your mind doesn't think. You cannot jump into a hole that you haven't dug. Okay? Think about it for an instant. You can't go somewhere you don't think. If you don't think, "I got to go to the grocery store and get some milk," you're not going to go. You open the refrigerator and you go, "Oh my goodness, what happened to all the milk? It's gone." Happens when you have kids. And you know what? If you don't think it, you can't do it. So she had to say it. She had to say it so she could see it. This is why what you say is so very important. You've got to say it so that you can see it. You've got to see it happening in your mind. You have to have that hope set before you.
Right.
Amen. Right? That's what the Bible says, that hope set before you. You have to take that inner vision, which becomes the hope, and you have to set it in front of you. You have to think it. You have to say it. You have to meditate on it. That's what this woman was doing. An unclean woman didn't just walk into the city and press her way through a crowd without thinking through this process very thoroughly. Because she was breaking the Mosaic law. But she said, "If I can just touch his garment, I will be well." And one of the reasons I took this from Matthew instead of from Mark is this draws such a clear picture that it's you. It's what you do. It's what you think. It is what you see. It's so important. This is just, it's so key. Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, in Mark's version of this, he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "Master, the crowd is pressing in around you. How are you saying, who touched me?" And he said, "I felt power go out from me." Somebody connected to that anointing and drew that anointing power. We can connect to that anointing every day that we want to. We can connect to that power every time we need to. That is the anointing that Jesus gave us when he died on that cross and rose again. That is that anointing. In Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So if your back is hurting you, go, "Oh, no, 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 no. Devil, uh-uh. You're not doing this to me. I'm healed. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. You can't touch me with sickness. You can't touch me with poverty. You can't touch me with disease. Get out of here. Take your lies. Hit the road. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says." Look at the difference of the two approaches. In verse 21, she said it. She said to herself, "If only I touch his garment." She said it. She saw it. So step number one, say it. Find it in God's word. Read that promise out loud. Say it. She said it. She spoke her healing. She believed it. She saw it in her heart. She said, "If I do this, it's going to work." She wasn't going to give up because she couldn't get there. She wasn't going to give up because there were other things, other people standing in her way. She said it. She believed it. If she didn't believe it, she was not going to go into the city and break the Mosaic law, not telling people she was unclean. She wasn't going to push through this crowd to get to him. She believed it because this was not a simple thing. Everybody's pressing around him. She's trying to get. How many of you have ever tried to walk through a very crowded room before? Where you kind of got to look your way. Like a little gap here. I can, excuse me. You know, it's not easy. She pushed her way through the crowd to get to him when she was supposed to not even be in the city. When she was supposed to be telling people, I'm unclean, don't be near me. She did it. Step number three. Step number one, she said it. Step number two, she believed it. Step number three, she did it. She acted on her faith. Faith without works is dead. James 2, 17 and 18. James talks about our faith is shown by our works. This is that whole scripture about faith without works is dead. "Thus also, faith by itself does not have works is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works.'" When you are hurting, you don't want to get out of bed. Healed people don't lie in bed. Healed people get up. Healed people get out there, get things done. Amen. healed people. Don't take it easy. Healed people do what they normally do. When you're sick, it's a fight. It is, especially if you are hurting, it is a fight to get up and do what your pain's telling you you can't do. It is so hard. It's not easy. But are you going to put your faith in drugs? Are you going to put your faith in the doctor? Are you going to put your faith in what God's word says? I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. If you break your arm, probably should go to the doctor. Although I did break a toe once and I didn't. I just told it to be healed. And step number 4, she received it. When she did what her faith was telling her to do, she received it. She welcomed it. She acknowledged that it was the power of the anointing that did it. She received it. Look at verse 22. What did Jesus say? He said, "I heal you. Go in peace." No, it's not what he said. He said, "God chose to heal you. Thank you for coming today." No, it's not what he said. Jesus turned around when he saw her. He said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." This is the example for us. This is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on it's our faith that moves God. It's not God who moves us. Instead of praying, "Jesus, heal Tim. Oh, Father, we're going to get the prayer chain together. We're going to get 100 people to say, 'Jesus, heal this person.'" That's not what God's word says works. God's word says you speak the word. You believe the word. You act on the word. And you receive the results. That's what the word of God says. Meditate on these scriptures. It was her faith, her actions that made her well. She didn't say, "God, please heal me." She understood authority, the authority Jesus had for healing, and she reached out and took it for herself. That's why Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He didn't know. It wasn't his choice. He wasn't saying, "I choose to heal you." No, your faith has made you well. And sometimes it is so hard when we don't see it. We still feel that pain. We still see that lump. We still see that negative bank account. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But the more you bury yourself in this word of God, the more you're going to be able to see with your spiritual eyes what you can't see with your physical eyes. You've got to get to the point where that spiritual sight is more real to you than what you're seeing with your physical eyes. And, you know, I know sometimes it just seems like it doesn't work. It didn't work, right, with my mother. No, Jesus healed her. We didn't know how to appropriate that healing. I didn't know anything near what I know now. I didn't really realize how to speak the word. I was one of those people praying, "God, heal my mother," right? I didn't understand. I didn't have that knowledge. We're not there. I'm not there. I don't see healing every single time I pray. I see it on the inside. I don't always see it on the outside. But it's going to manifest, or those of you who are old enough, "I'm going to take two Tylenol and see God in the morning," right? How many of you remember the old Tylenol scare? That was a long time ago. People were taking Tylenol and dying because somebody had tampered with a bunch. You saw all those foil lids that we have nowadays? We didn't used to have those. But somebody was going in because they were mad at the company that made Tylenol and putting poison on the tablets in the grocery stores and in the drugstores, and people were dying from taking Tylenol. And How many of you remember Bob Murfin? Anybody remember Bob Murfin? A couple of you, you're old enough to remember Bob Murfin. I grew up going to school listening to Bob Murfin in the morning on WNBI. That was like my mom's favorite morning radio show. Okay. And when that happened, now understand, this was in the 70s, people. This was a long time ago. Okay, this was in the 70s, so this was what, 50 years ago? The Tylenol scare was on, and Bob Murfin tells a joke in the morning. I couldn't believe he did this. I'm like, oh my goodness. He said, this guy was getting really sick. He had terrible headache, and he's praying. He's like, God, what am I going to do? All I've got in the cabinet is Tylenol. God said, well, take two Tylenol, and I'll see you in the morning. You know, I'm going to get my healing. Jesus paid for it. I am not leaving that sitting on the table. And if I never see it in my life, I will talk to God about it in the morning. Right? Because I'm going there. But instead of saying, you know, Jesus, heal this disease, please. God, heal me, please. What does Mark 11:23 say? For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Think about that. James talks about the unstable man because he believes and he doubts, and he believes and he doubts. He's like that wave of the sea, tossed with the wind, back and forth, back and forth. And I think that's where a lot of us are a lot of the time. We believe, we have our good days and our bad days, our believing days and our doubting days. He says, does not doubt in his heart. This is Jesus talking here. Not doubting takes a lot of closing your eyes to the world and opening your eyes to the Word. That little L in the middle of that word is the difference between the lie of Satan and the word of the Lord. Don't get that L out of there. Shut your eyes to the world and open your eyes to the Word of God. That is what is going to change you on the inside. That is what is going to make it possible for you to believe what God's word says more than what you see with your eyes. And that's what it takes. This woman believed that what she saw on the inside was going to change when she reached out and touched Jesus. Jesus said, do not doubt. If he does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Boy, I want to get there. I'm not there. It's a high price to pay. I like my entertainment. I need to like the Word of God more than I like the entertainment. So I'll stay more buried in that Word, which can be a struggle, until that Word is more real to me than what I'm seeing with my eyes. I'm not there yet. I've left, but I'm not there yet. Amen? So what are you believing? Are you believing the doctor is going to fix it? Are you believing the pharmaceutical is going to fix it? Are you believing the Word of God is going to fix it? Where is your faith? Because it is your faith that makes you well. Amen?
Amen.
This is where I want to be. I want to be to that point where it's my faith that makes me well. That every time sickness or pain starts coming on me, and I, you know what? The devil was trying to make sure that I couldn't teach this. I've had more back pain this week than I've experienced in a very, very long time, and there's no reason for it. all of a sudden I had these back spasms. As I was sitting there, while the music for the offering was playing, I had another spasm. And it hurt so bad, I was wondering if I could stand up. And I'm like, no. I'm not. I take that thought captive. I can do all things through Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing, which strengthens me. And I stood up and I walked away. But the devil has been fighting me on this all week long. I couldn't hardly get in and out of my truck on Wednesday when I had job sites that I had to go see. I understand. I'm there. I live this physical life just like the rest of you do. But I am not going to accept the devil's lies. I am not going to accept the pain. I'm going to fight it with every fiber of my being. I'm going to fight it with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to fillet the devil in his lies. I'm going to defeat him by chopping off his legs with the Word of God. I'm not going to leave him a leg to stand on. What I need to do is not leave him a mouth to talk to, but unfortunately, even the Holy Spirit told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You can overcome the devil. It's my grace. I'm not going to remove the devil from fighting against you, but I've given you the victory. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's what it is. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom from your word. Thank you for your anointing, the precious blood that heals us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness.